I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 29th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before I get to the show today, I thought I'd give you all an update on the podcast throwdown for Halos of Hope. According to Nathaniel Apple from Pearlescence Yarns, about 4 or 5 days ago, Team Knitmore Girls still has a sizable lead on all the other teams. And here's the count so far. Team Knitmore Girls is up to 68 hats. Team Naughty Girls is up to 8 hats. Team Craftlit, 6 hats. Team Sockaholic, 24 hats. And Team Ready, Set, Knit is at 9 hats. And these stats might be just a little old, but I still think at this point Team Knitmore Girls is the team to beat. For all of you other Fiber Arts podcasters out there, I'd like you to consider joining the Rumble. We'd love to have you create your own teams or merge with another team and join us for this great charity campaign for Halos of Hope. And if you're curious about the Podcaster Throwdown, I'd like to invite you to join our Ravelry group, Podcaster Throwdown. We'd love to have your help with this campaign. Maybe you can motivate one of your other favorite podcasts to join in, or you could find a team that you could knit or crochet a hat for. Every hat counts, and we'd sure appreciate your help. And please keep listening to Fiber Hooligan. We'll try to have updates about the Podcaster Throwdown at the top of every show. Okay. My guest today is one of the founders and owners of Namaste Inc., and these are the folks that make the beautiful Namaste bags. She is a former occupational therapist. She considers herself and all like-minded fans, day lovers, to be Namastarians, and we're going to talk about that later. Beings who appreciate the human connection, those who are determined to kindle kindness and practice positivity and gratitude in daily life. She believes that life is too short to sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. She is a lucky mother of one and wife to a talented cameraman and co-founder of Namaste. She describes Namaste as a family-owned and operated shindig. I love the word shindig. And all materials are vegan, and many materials are recycled. Their goal is to spread love, goodwill, and good karma in their little corner of the world. They believe in being kind to the earth and its creatures. They believe in gratitude. They believe in karma. And they believe in fun. I'm speaking, of course, of my friend, Kelly Weatherby Lelos. Kelly joins us from Granada Hills, California this morning. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. So happy to be here.
It really is great, and thank you for joining us. I know it's earlier out there. How are things in California this fine morning?
Fantastic. The sun's trying to peek through, and all is right with our neck of the woods. How about with you?
You know, it's kind of a beautiful day. It's getting a little chilly out there, but that just means it's sweater weather. The wind's not blowing. It's crisp. It's nice. You know, we have a real fall here. I don't know if you get real fall there.
Nothing like you get, or I'm originally from the East Coast, and nothing like we got in New Hampshire. But it's still our version of it. For example, my husband made a fire in the fireplace this morning because we, any chance we get of pretending that it's fall, we do that. It was cold enough for socks this morning, so we figured cold enough for a fire.
Good enough for me. You don't have to ever apologize for getting cozy at home. That's just one of those things that it should be your right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're coming to us live from your home this morning.
That's right. That is right. I'm snuggled up and cozy in Granada Hills right now.
Okay. And the little one is with you, I take it?
She is. My husband just put her down for a nap, it sounds like, and I've got my little dog Annie sitting right here, and got my coffee, so I'm ready to rumble.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, I understand that you just got back from Europe recently. What was that like?
Oh, it was so awesome. It's always so eye-opening and just inspirational, the other word would probably be just you never know what to expect whenever we travel. My husband is a cameraman, so we get to kind of go around, and it was Gemma's first international trip, so that was really exciting, and got to use the passport finally. We were in Istanbul for a week, and then we went to France, and then over to the East Coast. My cousin had a wedding, so we were fortunate enough to be able to go to that, and now we're back home.
Well, that's great. Did you do any business over there, or was it purely relaxing?
Little to no business, besides me being able to stay connected on the Facebook page and, you know, the Twitter feeds. I still hosted some contests on our Facebook page from abroad and things like that. So that was fun. Just posted a few pictures.
You're a connected lady.
I try to be. I do what I can.
All right, well, let's get into this. Let's, you know, our listeners may not know you as well as other people do. Let's give your listeners a little background about you. You were, before all this, an occupational therapist. What exactly is an occupational therapist, and what did you do?
An occupational therapist is a really cool job where basically your goal is to increase function and independence in individuals, and it really covers the gamut in terms of who you can help, because, you know, functional independence basically can mean anything from emotional to physical well-being. We were working with children with autism and kids with brain injuries and spinal cord injuries and things like that. I did that for about 5 years before I kind of headed into this.
Well, how did you get into that field?
It sort of stemmed from a desire to be connected with people and want to be able to help people. I did a little bit of shadowing. My mom, growing up, worked with kids with developmental disabilities, and so I was always inspired by, you know, the little changes that she could make, helping the kids, and then it just sort of drifted into, well, as an occupational therapist, you can really help anyone. So that was really the appeal to that.
And as I understand it, you were knitting during your time as an occupational therapist. In fact, I think I believe that you used to use knitting on the job. You used to knit while you were at the job, but you also used to knitting in your job.
We did. I did. Knitting was a good, a big part of what I was doing. As a matter of fact, a lot of the patients that I was working with, we would work on fine motor skills and also just working on activities that bring purpose and enjoyment. So knitting was definitely one of those things that I was able to teach to a lot of children and adolescents as a tool for therapy and, you know, in a lot of different areas. And then also we would knit at lunchtime. The therapist and I would knit at lunchtime together, just bring our scarves in and work on holiday projects and things like that. So it was definitely a big part of what I was doing without really knowing what a big part it would play in what I was doing.
Well, you know, we're going to take a side trip here about your knitting because you and I had a fun conversation about our respective knitting, and I've admitted to you and admitted to Fiber Hooligans many times that I am not the most knitterly knitter in the world. I get a lot of grief over the Doctor Who scarf I still haven't finished. You know, and you were telling me that you don't consider yourself like a knitterly knitter either, that you're a blanket knitter.
That is me, that self-proclaimed. It's what I love to do. I just, you know, I'm okay with the mistakes. Those are, you know, my husband will say, well, what about that hole down there, you know, 25 rows back? And I said, that means it's handmade, you know, just kind of made with love. It has those things. That I'm not trying to sell it. It's more, it's a very relaxing hobby for me. And I think if I had to pay attention to patterns and things like that, it would then become not that. So it works with my brain to do it like this. But when I'm amongst, you know, the basically all of the people that give us our inspiration, it's a little bit bewildering to me. I'm always feeling a little bit like, okay, well, I'm not pulling my knitting out now. I'll save that for later.
There is a phenomenon that happens with people that don't consider them. They get knitterly impaired or afraid around people that are really good about it.
Yeah, and I am so guilty of that. You know, just, that's me.
Well, that's okay. I'm sure you sit at home, maybe sometimes in front of the fire, and with your daughter, and that's got to be part of your de-stress time as well.
It's one of my favorite things to do. She's really intrigued by the needles and whatnot, so it's not typically so productive, but it happens.
All right, let's move back into you. Let's move into your foray into the world of business. Will you please tell the Fiber Hooligans how you got started? I mean, how long have you been in business?
Since 2005. We founded Namaste in 2005, and when we first founded it, it was when my husband and I, he had given me a gift of some glass-blown knitting needles. I was taking them to work and knitting with them amongst therapists and friends, and nobody had really seen anything like that, so we got some prototypes made and ended up bringing them around to local yarn shops and were surprisingly well received. So I was still a therapist, and he still is and was a cameraman at the time, but we knew we needed some business-minded support, and so we asked Clint's sister to join the team. So it's founded by the three of us. Dawn is my sister-in-law, Clint's sister, and basically we're the two that are in charge of We Say the Shindig. But we have a good time, so we're really lucky, that it is the
way
that
it is. You're always so complimentary about your partners when I talk to you, and they're all family. It's your husband, and it's you, and it's your sister-in-law. Let's break off a little bit, and why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. My husband is our cameraman. He's super talented in that. I'm biased. And he travels a lot, which means I get to sometimes go off and travel places. It's part of the reason why we were able to start a little mini line in Turkey and, those kinds of good things. Also gives a lot of inspiration for the colors and the designs, because just being so exposed to things other than things that you normally see in your daily world. So that's pretty awesome. My business partner, Dawn, is just a really, really talented visionary. She sees an idea of a product, and she makes it come to life. We complement each other really, really well. She's, we kind of finish each other's sentences in that respect. So we both share the concept of, we don't consider ourselves necessarily business people. We just like to make products that that we like to use ourselves. The products that we make are obviously very multifunctional, but we've been fortunate enough to find a huge community of fiber enthusiasts who are so offering of feedback and receptive to, our questions and things like that they've allowed us to make products that, basically serve the functions of the crafters. So our team is, it's Dawn and it's my husband, Clint, and it's Mama Tony, who runs the warehouse. We couldn't do it without her. That's Dawn and Clint's mom. And Nancy is in the front, and that pretty much makes up Papa John, helps from home, and that's us. So the truth is, though, we couldn't do it without all of our followers and the truly, truly loyal fans that have come out of these years in business. That's really what we consider who makes us up.
Well, yes, I agree, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. I want to go back to your history just a little bit first.
Yeah.
When you first came to market, of course, you went around to some local yarn stores and showed your stuff off. What were some of your first products, and how did you bring them to market? I mean, you didn't come to TNNA right away, I don't think. How did you get yourself launched?
It was a very modest process. It started, I have funny stories of Dawn and I would, we didn't have a FedEx pickup, but we were shipping out daily, and we were shipping out of my house. And so the garage was the pseudo warehouse, and we would take, Clint had this old, I wish I remembered the year, old car, maybe 57 or something like that. We called it Buttercup, and it was a big old pickup truck, and Dawn and I would would load that thing up and bring it to FedEx, and I think we woke up the neighborhood on a daily basis at our 3 o'clock run. But those are the days. Now we're much more settled into a a bit more suitable of a location. But my mother-in-law and I used to hand sew the accessories. We just had a couple of small, like a little cozy and a roll-up that were basically just for needles, either a pair or a set. And we would hand sew those in our homes. We both have like vintage Kenmore sewing machines that do one thing and do it well. So we were received well, and sort of surprised by it. But us, we got to kind of look around in the yarn shops and see what was there, and then said, well, geez, let's give it a shot. And so we went to our first TNNA. Back in 2005, and we had a tiny little booth that we put together with, it was one of those plastic grids that the pieces that hold it together keep breaking, and needless to say, there was blood involved, but we managed to laugh and brave our way through it. It was one of those things where you just kind of put yourself out there, and it'll either be well-received or it won't, but you won't know if you don't try, so that's what we did. And it was great, and that's what really opened our eyes to look around and say, geez, it looks like these crafters have needs beyond what are necessarily being fulfilled. So we thought maybe we could come up with some things that that they would like in addition to the needles, which we actually no longer do. They were more of a novelty item, and when their novelty went away, I think, sort of their popularity. But it's opened us into a world of a lot of opportunities for connecting with people and crafters, and that's been our favorite part.
Well, that's great. And I think I want to take a quick sidebar here. If we have new listeners who haven't listened to my show, I've talked about it before on other shows. For those of you who don't know what TNNA is, this is our wholesale show. It stands for the National Needleworks Association, and this is where suppliers get together with designers and local yarn stores and make connections and preview their products and come to market and sell their products into local yarn stores. It is not the same as a consumer show like a Vogue Live or a Stitches. It is really for local yarn stores, and it's a big floor, not quite as many people, but it's a different vibe, and it's a very beautiful show. I mean, there's always lots of pretty, pretty booths at those shows.
Absolutely. It's very stimulating.
Yeah. All right. So you brought it to market. Let's talk a little bit about your company and your company philosophies, because I think this is one of those things that makes you folks interesting and unique. You believe in things like karma. You believe in kindness, fun. There's a recycle aspect and a vegan aspect to your products. You believe in taking care of animals, and I know your pets are a big part of your life. Can you talk about all that?
Sure. Which one first?
Well, let's talk it. Let's do the lifestyle thing. So what is it like in the Namaste Inc. offices? What's the vibe there? I know that pets are a part of that.
They are. Pets are. We believe that they're, part of our family, and I feel that they offer a really therapeutic bonus to, when people are happier and feeling more positive, they can be more productive, and I find that that's very much the case in the workplace. So Nancy's always got her two, we call them the two vanillas. She's got two-pound puppy rescues that are, you'd think they're twins, but they're not even related, and they are inseparable in the bed next to her feet all day. And then my mother-in-law, Tony, she usually will bring one of her three guys down, depending on who's behaving the best. And then I always have Jack and Annie with me. And then, we make sure that it's a fun environment. There's always music playing. Mama Tony's usually singing off key. I love you, Mama Tony, but it's true. Other than that, we like to keep it fun and light, and but at the same time, really kind of encourage positivity as much as we can through our social outreaches.
Well, that's good. And we can talk about your company philosophies in regards to really your Facebook presence. You know, you have started a hashtag that means something. You know, it's pound Namastarians. You know, it's about karma, and it's about kindness, and it's about fun. It's about random acts of kindness. This was important to you. Can you tell us about this sort of campaign?
Sure. Well, you know, what I found over the years as being sort of recipient to all of these fantastic connections of basically our customers who are, you know, they seem to sort of march to the beat of their own drum, and it's always a beautiful drum, and it's always something, there's something that they have in common, which is their outreach of kindness and positivity. And I thought that somehow I need to be able to bottle that and identify with it, and also identify these people for who they are. It's this very positive community of people who are, you know, like-minded into having a good time, into, you know, taking care of each other, being kind to each other, just the basics. And also, you know, when I talk about the basics, it's sort of things that we're all guilty of taking for granted on a daily basis, which are the small moments that you can sort of learn from being around children or people who might not have been able to appreciate those things in the past. So we try to do good. We try to inspire positivity, and I think it's one of those things that's contagious, and it has become sort of like a contagious thing amongst our group. Optimism seems to be almost a magnet for happiness, and it seems to be something that, if you stay positive, you know, you'll be drawn to people who are positive, and they'll be drawn to you. Good things will happen. So these are the things that have been sort of symbolic of the group of people who've kind of just come around the brand, just like-minded people who want to give back, you know, in the little ways that they can, which end up being big ways in the long run.
I'm a big fan of this sentiment. I try to stay positive, and I try to stay upbeat myself. And I have to tell you, every so often I falter. I find myself,
absolutely,
you know, in darker places, and I think that happens to everybody. And I found that the best solution for that is to making sure that you're surrounding yourself by people who care about you and will tell you it's going to be okay and that you're worth something. And and having those people around you to help you when you falter like that is so absolutely important.
It really, really is. And just having those reminders of, you know, my dad always says, I'm sure I'll mess up this sentence, but, you know, that he complained about having no legs until he met the man who had no feet. So it's, you know, that's the wrong way to say it. I know it is. But basically just being grateful for what we have because, you know, it could be taken away at any moment. So it's absolutely, we all find those dark places. But being around people that are positive and that just make you laugh or make you smile or, you know, kind of bring a good energy, what we feel like is a powerful medicine.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that...
What's the right statement, Benjamin? Help me out with that phrase. Have you heard it before? My dad's going to kill me that I mess it up. But I'm so famous for this. Every time I try to come out with, you know, one of those, have you ever heard the phrase? I completely...
You felt bad, a man with it, because I had no shoes until I met a man with no legs.
Thank you so much.
It's okay. Believe it or not, I always listen to what's meant and not what's said, if I'm possible, because I think that's more important. many times of people that have listened to what I meant rather than I said, that, which has been my saving grace because I mess up all the time.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's important. It's important that we can all laugh at ourselves, I think, on a daily basis. Otherwise, what would we do?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I always tell people I screw up more than anybody else I know, and I do spend a great deal of time you know, pondering just how ridiculous, you know, some of the things that I do or my life is, you know, and not that my life is ridiculous, just that, you know, it's good to be able to laugh at yourself. You're absolutely right. And the people around us keep us grounded. And it's a message that, I mean, it's one of the reasons that I really wanted to have you on the show. You know, you're not just selling a product out there. You are trying to influence people that are your fans based on the idea that, okay, you know, it doesn't have to suck, folks, mm-hmm. and it's really not like a magic spell in order for it to not suck. There's really fairly simple things you can do, and I like that message.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and you know, it's just, one thing that I always say is on Mondays, Happy Monday. Because regardless, if I say Happy Monday, doesn't it just feel happier? Monday sounds so much better if you put happy in front of it. And I think that rings true for a lot of things, you know. A smile, I've learned from my travels, is one of those things that it doesn't matter what language people speak, they do speak smile, and it's contagious. So I found that to be really kind of a neat way that we can all be connected, because I think we all crave that human connection. And it can be lost in the big world that we live in. But at the same time, we can find it in, go figure, places like social media, Facebook, things like that, to learn, you know, who we are and what we like. And it's just been really, really fun.
The Monday thing is something that appeals to me, too. When I first started thinking about the show, I actually proposed to a couple of my friends, I think I'm going to do it on Mondays. And they said, why? And I said, because Monday has a bad rap. I mean, it really does. Absolutely. It has a bad rap.
It completely does. It completely does. There's a blog, I believe it's a blog, called The Positivity Solution, and I really, really love, he always sends out an email on Monday if you subscribe, and it's one of those things where it's Happy Monday, you know, and it always is Happy Monday, even if it's not so happy, you know?
Well, yes. So let's talk a little bit about one of the other things, and I don't believe this is necessarily, you know, part and parcel of the Namastarian idea, but I know it's important to you, and I know you don't judge, but it was important to you that your products are as recycled as they can be, and that they are essentially vegan.
They certainly are, and so it's been kind of fun to appeal to the vegan audience as well, in terms of, you know, everybody knows us, or, you know, the people who do know us as a knitting bag company. So that's really where we have a presence. But what we've tried to do as much as possible is really, like, for example, the interior lining of most of the bags, it's a micro suede gray, and it's made of mostly recycled plastic bottles. It's made of material called PET, which is all post-consumer materials. And it was a good challenge to find the right material, but it was something that was important to us. All of our vegan faux leather is PVC free, but we strive to make it appear as though has the look and feel of a non-synthetic material. So that's the trick. that's the fun part.
Well, you do a good job of that. Now, let's give people a little history about the two of us. We started working together at Stitches West about 3 years ago. And before that, I knew you from TNNA, where Molly Bonestro, our operations manager, who you've worked with before, introduced you to me and then proceeded to buy a sample of every single one of her bags herself, I think. And she's not the only one on my staff. There seems to be some diehards out there. In every case that I've seen you at a show, whether it's been a Stitches or a TNNA, I'm always struck by how much energy you and your team bring to a market for, and the excitement around your products and the loyalty. I mean, people love you, folks. I don't want to put you on the spot, but what's that like?
You know, it's one of those things where we're always so surprised. We're always so excited to be there, you know, and the energy on that floor, it's something that I think is really reciprocal. You know, it's not just us exuding this energy. It's you know, people coming in and, you know, just being so excited and then saying things like, and almost all of them, I own 3, 4, or 5 of your bags, and that's really touching to us. You know, that feels like, well, geez, we have these committed, loyal fans. What could be better than that? So it feels really awesome. But most of all, we're just so grateful because it's an overwhelming thing. And now that it seems like there is a group, it's nice to be able to do something positive with it, you know, as much as we can.
Well, I agree. Again, there's so much energy. And you folks come across as a young, hip, professional company. I mean, everything is very professional looking. And there's, you know, again, now that I'm getting into my mid-40s, you know, I'm starting to feel a little older. You know, you folks are all fairly young. You know, I think, I'm not going to ask your age, but I think you're quite a bit younger than I am. And you've got the cool tattoos. I always look at your tattoos and think, gosh, I always wanted a tattoo.
So nary a tattoo, Benjamin, huh?
I don't have a tattoo. I'm
thinking we should get you a fiber hooligan one, maybe. Just stick away from the lower back midsection. That's the only thing I'm saying. Otherwise, the sky's the limit.
but it looks fantastic. I mean, and you know, there's a picture of you up on the preview for the Blog Talk Radio, and I put it on Facebook as well. And you can see your beautiful tattoos in your arm. You can't tell me that didn't hurt.
Absolutely no. I mean, it stung like a bee and then some, for sure. I'm not gonna lie. But it's, you know, for me, it's something, it's sort of an artistic expression. You know, people ask me, what do your tattoos mean? And I would consider them more of, I love color and I love life, and I have a lot of flowers, which represent life, and, you know, the artwork on it is very decorative, and I love to decorate things. I'm a crafter, I'm sticking with the right side of my body, though, because it can really be one of those things where you're like, ooh, and wouldn't that look nice there? And it's like when you get a sticker book and you start just putting stickers everywhere. When I was 16, I had a car. I had an 87 Ford Tempo that my dad got me for $50, and I covered the whole thing on the inside with stickers. And everyone who came in my car would also get to put a sticker on the inside of my car until it was one of those things that people probably took a picture of, kind of weird, but I like decorating things from an early age, I guess.
I love your comment that, you know, your tattoos don't mean anything, that it's just expression and it's decorative. Years and years ago, I saw an interview with Ringo Starr. I was a kid, and he was on a talk show, and, you know, he has earrings in both ears, and I think this was in the early 80s where maybe a right earring meant something and a left earring meant something, whatever that was back then. And they said, you know, do your earrings mean anything? And he looked at the host sort of like, are you kidding me? And he said, oh, no, purely decorative, darling. And I thought that was fantastic because why not? I mean, can't that be good enough?
Exactly. I'm not an accessories person, because I'm kind of lazy about what I wear and what I put on. So I'm always slightly decorated this way, so it works. You won't really see me with earrings or anything but my wedding ring, but at least I have some decoration going on.
That's
lazy
great.
Person decoration.
All right, we'll move off your tattoos. Let's talk about your products.
Okay.
I think your products are beautiful, and I know a lot of people who think your products are beautiful. And one of the things I know about you folks is that you spend a lot of time making sure that there is both form and function in what you offer to your customers. And, you know, I've said it to you before, you guys are almost like the Apple of bags. Will you please talk about that creative process, that process of making something both beautiful and useful?
Well, it is exactly that. It's a process, and each process for each product is different in that from where the idea came from. You know, a lot of our ideas for our accessories come from very specific requests that we'll hear over and over from customers. I need something to hold my straight needles, or I need something for my circulars, but when it comes to the bags, those are more things that have come to Don and I in either, you know, we saw in an old movie, or, a bag that we saw, but we thought we could make this for the knitters if we do X, Y, Z, and then basically just kind of tweaking things that we see, colors in nature that speak to us. We use influences from basically everything. A lot of vintage things, though. Dawn has a great eye for looking at, you know, older pieces and noticing what the little details in them that makes them so timeless are, and she has a great way of incorporating that into our bags. I typically test them for function, use them over and over, and truthfully, a lot of products don't get made because of not being able to match the form with the function in terms of, you know, it's really cute, but what kind of a purpose does it serve for our audience, which are the crafters? Or on the other side, it's ugly as sin, but boy, does it hold a good circular, you know, needle collection. So we can't, it has to have both. So that's sort of, you know, people will say, when are you coming out with your next bag? And it's kind of like when it's perfect. And sometimes that takes, you know, we're working on more than one at a time, and it just sort of depends on which one emerges itself first. And so it tends to be a long process, but also a really organic one.
I think that I've noticed that, because you guys don't come out with new product all the time, and when you do, it's a big splash. Let's talk about some of your more popular offerings to the fiber arts community. In your opinion, what do people love and continue to buy all the time? I mean, if you were to give us your top three bestsellers, you know, could you tell us what they are and kind of the response to them?
Sure. I would say for the O-Snap pouches have been probably the most consistently popular for as many years as we have had them in existence. Basically, for people who don't know what they are they're mesh pouches that have snaps on the top, tight enough to where your project isn't going to fall out, your needles won't fall out, but loose enough to where if you'd like to knit out of the pouch, the fibers can slide through the snaps if you put them in the closed position. Alternatively, and one of the reasons that I think they're such a huge seller and such a big hit is that, I mean, I use them for travel for my toiletries. I use them to put in, you know, a change of clothes and wipes changing pad when I want to go out with my daughter. So I don't know what I would do without these things, and I think people have found that. They're sold in a set of three, which is a small, medium, large set, so it's great for smaller items. You know, your littler toiletries and things like that are nice. Stitch holders, stitch markers, things like that. People use them for crochet hooks, double-pointed needles. I mean, it's a lot of uses. And then they also come in a set of two, which is XL, double XL, for like a blanket project or a sweater, or just, you know, if you want to organize clothes in your luggage, it's great for that, pants, whatnot. So that's our best, probably, accessory. And then next, I would say, would be the circular knitting needle case, and now the new double wide. It seems that the need for having, everybody seemed to have a huge circular knitting needle collection that was mangled up someplace in a plastic bag, and this case gives a bit of organization to those who are seeking it. You're able to customize the tabs, and it's got, the circular case has 14 customizable tabs. The double wide has 28, which is essentially just a double wide, double the width. It's an accordion style case. And then I would say for the bags, I have to go between two, because the Hermosa bag has been a tried and true bag for years. And sometimes, because we're a small company, we can't have a ton of, you know, merchandise, we'll try to discontinue one thing so we can make room for something else. And we keep trying to get rid of the Hermosa bag, but nobody will let us. So that's kind of a funny thing. It seems to serve a purpose for a lot of different people for obviously a lot of reasons. And then our newest bag, the Harlow bag, has been probably one of our most popular new bag ever. It's a great sort of catch-all. It's got pockets for anything and everything. It's got a shoulder strap that you can use, or you can do the crossbody shoulder strap, or just the regular over-the-shoulder straps. Both are removable, one's adjustable. just a really great versatile bag with the recycled lining. And that those were probably my four current highlights for what we're currently offering and what we seem to sell the most of. But truthfully, we don't really keep anything around that doesn't sell okay. So everything definitely has a purpose and a role.
Yes, I know that it does. And, well, you're a small business. You know, cash flow is king, and you can't tie up your money and merchandise all the time. Things have got to move around. You spoke about something, and so we're going to skip out of our order here. You spoke about the Harlow bag, and on the cover picture I used for you for the show, you're standing holding the Harlow bag. This is, of course, a very popular bag. You told us a little bit about it. The Harlow bag is a vintage-inspired construction of luscious vegan material and offers ultra-organization and serious style. Can you tell us a little bit more about that bag? That's just a brief summary.
Oh, absolutely. You mean, like, specifically about the pockets and whatnot?
Yeah, tell us all about the pockets. Tell us about the feature, because this is a cool bag.
It is. It's great. I think people love it because it's really a nice way to compartmentalize, but it's spacious without having the bulk of a really big bag. It's got two exterior water bottle pockets or bottle pockets, whatever you like to use them for. And then it's got two front flaps, which have magnetic pockets that flap over, great for putting your cell phone, your keys, those kinds of things, easy to reach. And right behind those two pockets is an open-top pocket, which was essentially designed so that if you're working on a small project and you'd like to knit out of your bag, there are magnetized closures as opposed to zippers so that your fibers won't snag. All of our products are, they don't scream knitting and crafting, but they've all been carefully considered with the details that, you know, are basically subtleties that the crafters appreciate, and we know that they do, so we make sure that they're there. The other thing that's great about this bag is that one of the handles is adjustable. It's across the body, and then you can take that one off and just use the shoulder over the shoulder handles, which you can alternatively remove the shoulder handles and just make it a saddle bag completely. Then it's got, on the inside, it's got a zipper top pocket, a couple open top pockets for cell phones, and then on the rear, it's got another zipper pocket, 4 feet on the bottom. It's an all-around great bag. It's been, we are always either complimented or just the opposite for our bright colors, but it looks so, so great in the Caribbean blue and even the darker colors. It just seems to be one of those bags that it just looks good.
Well, and these are a cool bag. They're not too expensive. They're not cheap either. It's a $97.50 bag. As I understand, it comes in canary yellow, Caribbean blue, eggplant, espresso, pumpkin spice, and, of course, red. That red is the one that you're holding, correct?
That's right. The red is brand new. We actually don't even have complete photography available for it yet, but we will this week. That's how new it is. We'll be showing them to retail customers for the first time at Stitches East, so we're pretty excited about this.
Well, since we're talking about this, and you offered very graciously, shall we give one of these bags away to a live listener?
Let's do it. If you know me, you know I love giveaways and contests and fun. So let's do it. This is great.
All right. So we're going to be giving away a Harlow bag to a live caller. It'll be the fourth caller in. The number to call in is 718-664-9655. That's 718-664-9655. If you call in, please turn the volume off on your computer, because otherwise we will get the echo of death and I will have to cut you off. And so, okay, people are starting to call in now. And I said we're going to take the fourth caller, and we're not quite to four yet. So this is a very cool bag, and we're up to four. So I'm going to take a call from area code 401, area code 401, you're on the air.
Hello, Benjamin. This is Audrey.
Audrey, how are you?
I am wonderful. Vacationing in Las Vegas.
Ooh, congratulations.
And I'm having much more luck with you than with the slot machines.
Oh. Well, thank you
story
for having me on
life,
your vacation.
I am. I'm here with my daughter for a few days. Oh,
well, that's
wow.
Wonderful.
It's exciting being a fiber hooligan.
Well, I really do appreciate you taking time out of your vacation to tune into the show. That's wonderful, Andre. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy listening. I truly do.
Well, thanks a lot for your support. So you won a Harlow bag. Do you know what color you like?
Oh, dear. Let's see. I already have a Namaste bag in pink, and I have one in the lime green. So, and I have one in black. So let's see. What are the colors here?
Well, you don't have to choose right away. I can actually send you a link
good.
So you can look at them, all that. But, Audrey, you know, you've heard the show before. You know the drill. And I'd like you to send me an email to benjamin@fiberhooligan.com, and
I'll send you
a link. And then we'll get this back to Kelly so that she can get you set up on this. And thanks so much for calling into the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you both at Stitches East.
Fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, that's great. I'm a big fan, Kelly. We'll have to talk.
Oh, my goodness. I just can't wait to see you. Make sure you remind me that you were on Fiber Hooligan so I can make the connection.
Oh, I will. And I'll have to be carrying a Namaste bag with me for all the goodies.
Okay,
thank you.
I hope so.
Thank you so much, both of you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks,
good luck.
You too.
Best of luck. Maybe this is a chain of luck coming your way in Vegas.
Right.
Oh, don't worry about it. My total losings have been $20. I'm under control.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
There you go.
It's just off of fun. Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye. Have a wonderful day.
Well, that was pretty cool.
That was so fun. And the fact that she was in Las Vegas was really exciting. I sort of felt like we were there for a minute.
Yeah, that was very cool. I mean, how cool is that she went on vacation and she stopped to listen to the show. That's just pretty cool. And
that's
she's coming to Stitches East. That's going to be fantastic.
That's a really dedicated fan. That's really really awesome.
Yeah, I'm always, I love Fiber Hooligans. They're just wonderful. Now, speaking of that, I understand that, you know, not only are you bringing the new red Harlow to Stitches East, you've got a new product you're about to preview to the world, and you're going to do so for the first time at Stitches East in just under 2 weeks. First of all, I want to thank you for being a part of Stitches East this year. This is your first time with us in Hartford, Connecticut.
It is. It's our first Stitches East. We're super excited. I'm originally from the East Coast, so it always feels good to go back. And we just can't wait. Stitches West is just our favorite show in terms of the energy and connecting with people. It's just so much fun for us and just such good energy. So we just we're thrilled to be at East, and we can't wait to meet everyone.
Okay, I can't wait to see you either. And for Fiber Hooligans, Tammy just posted in the chat room. They are in booth 904, 906, and 908. But let's get back to your new product. One of the slides that I put up there was this, you know, it gave no name, and people are probably looking at the little slide on Blog Talk Radio and thinking, oh, I don't know that product. And there's a reason they don't know that product. Can you tell us about your new product?
Of course. The product that we are introducing at Stitches will be called Build Your Own Binder, BYOB, pun intended. Basically, it's to meet the needs of a storage solution for your tools. People who might remember we previously, a few years ago, had a product called the Needle Binder. This is sort of a spin on that, but it allows more flexibility and it meets a few needs. We had a lot of outreach for people asking for, number one, a case for straight knitting needles. Number two, a storage solution for interchangeable sets. And then number three, the age-old, I have every single kind of tool possible. Can you make something that sort of fits all of it? The nice thing about this is you buy just the shell. And then you can customize. The shell itself does have some mesh pages built into the walls, so you have that basically as a bonus right off at the beginning. And then what you can do is you can purchase the pages either as a set of three or individually to match your binder and to match your needs. One of the pages is specifically for an interchangeable set, and it can hold two sets because each of the pages are completely mimicked on either side. So when you purchase one page, you're actually sort of purchasing two because they're double-sided pages. Same thing for the other style, the page which offers storage for straight needles. You can also put all sizes in because we have addressed the issue of, well, what if my gauge is smaller and the slots are too big? There's an elastic behind all of the slots so that smaller gauges will fit easily and stay snug in there. But that page is also double-sided. And then there's a page for, basically it's divided in half of two mesh pockets, so it can be used for notions, it can be used for circular needles. There are lots of options for that. So that's BYOB. It's going to be coming in three colors, Caribbean blue, red, and eggplant, and I have begged my supplier to air freight us at least one of these final samples so that we can show people at Stitches East what it is all about.
Oh, that's very exciting. I mean, and, you know, how cool is it that our Stitches East attendees get to see this kind of for the first time? That is just very exciting. Thank you for, you know, making us a part of your debut.
Oh, our pleasure. We're happy to do it.
So let's get back to Stitches East real quick. I want to make sure that you have a chance to say, what else are you bringing? I mean, besides these new things, what are you bringing?
We are bringing a little bit of everything. So we'll have an array of all of our bags. We will have our, obviously, the OSNAP mesh pouches will be present. We'll be bringing the Devon wristlet, which is a great, it is my favorite piece right now, so it's hard for me to put into just a few words. The Devon wristlet is a great wallet piece. It's a wristlet, but it's got credit card slots inside, and it's really nice to be able to pop it into one bag and into another if you don't want to carry the whole bag or switch the whole bag out. We'll have those. We'll have all of our cozies and mini cozies, our buddy cases. The new double wides will be there, and I think that's about it. Am I forgetting something?
Well, you're bringing yourself. Oh. I mean, you guys are awesome to have on the floor. Who's
we
coming
will
with
be
you?
There
who's,
with
which what's the crew going to consist of this time?
We have a definitive crew of three, which includes myself as well as Nancy, who is our basically she's the front of the house at Namaste. She does most of the customer service, and we consider her family whether she likes us to or not. And then Kathy is also coming with us. She does shows now and then, and she has been a family friend of Don since I believe they were four. So she's family as well.
And you're not bringing the little one this time.
So you know what? The little one is staying behind with my husband and my mother. So it will be the first time that I'm without her for such a long trip, so I'll need lots of hugs in the booth, please.
I'll be sure I get over there. Yeah, I remember when you had your beautiful little one that we didn't see you for a little while, and I totally get that. I can't say that I didn't miss you.
Yes, you know. Well, thank you. I did drop off the mat for a bit to be, you know, so just mom, which was really awesome, and I'm so lucky that I got to be able to just spend those that precious time with her while we were just getting to know each other, figuring things out.
Yeah, but it's going to be great to see you again. Hey, so speaking of, you know, you being out and about, are you going to be appearing anywhere else in the coming months besides Stitches East? Any shops, any other places?
We will certainly be attending Stitches West up in Santa Clara, which will be really we love the Stitches West. It was our first time, you know, we ever did Stitches West, and it's great because it's in our neck of the woods, and That's what we have planned right now. We don't necessarily think too far in advance, which I should probably work on. So I'll get back to you on where else we'll be.
No problem. We're coming down to sort of the end here. And are there any shout-outs that you'd like to give anyone or reminders about anything else that you're working on, contests or anything like that, that you want to remind people of?
I would love to. We're doing a few things. We are currently accepting donations for the West Valley Animal Shelter. We do an annual sweater donation where you send in your sweaters, your dog sweaters, knitted dog sweaters, or blankets, or any the shelters will really accept most anything. But each submission will allow you an entry into a raffle to potentially win some great prizes, one of them being a $100 Namaste gift certificate. So we're giving some time for this. You can mail it to us. Our info is on the website, or you can we're collecting through the holidays, so we hope to do a January donation. But we'll also be doing sweaters at Stitches East, so if anyone doesn't want to ship and you just want to bring your submissions, we'd love to take them from you there. The other thing that we are currently running and always do, not always do, but I like to do one every few weeks is photo contests. So if you have a chance, take pictures of your Namaste in action or your Namaste pets and save them for when we're, you know, there'll be a winner announced today, but you know, save them for when we have another contest, because we love to connect with people like that in the, with the visual sense.
That's fantastic. All right. So before we wrap this up, I asked this of all my listeners, and I gave you fair warning about this, and you wanted to think about it. I'd like to ask you if you have a final message that you'd like to share with our listeners.
I would love to, and I can't take credit for this message. It is my longtime mentor and very good friend named Arnel Calvario. He always reminds us to give love, receive love, be love. Namaste.
Well, I think that's about as good as it gets. That's a nice sentiment, and thank you for sharing us. And, you know, it doesn't have to be your sentiment in order to share a good thing. So fantastic, Kelly, and thank you for that. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Kelly. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks at Stitches East in Hartford. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic. We should bring our sweaters, though, right?
Yes. It's going to be a little chilly. I have a feeling that there might be a few knitwear garments running around the show. I'm just saying.
I have just a hunch.
just a hunch. All right. Well, again, thank you so much, and happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday, Benjamin. This has been really, really fun, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was Kelly Weatherby-Lelos from Namaste, Inc. You can find out more about Kelly and the Namaste team at namasteinc.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. This week, we are going to continue our new segment from our roving virtual reporter. She's going to tell us about the things she's seen in the fiber arts world that she thinks we should know about. I'd like to welcome back the moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group and the Fiber Hooligans Facebook group, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us from Boise, Idaho this morning. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, Benjamin.
How are you?
Oh, good. You can hear me. Okay. I'm doing wonderful. I love those bags. I hope that she is, that her three booths at the Stitches East are just swamped.
I think they will. I mean, they're just pretty great people. I mean, I think you'd go to the booth just to hang out with them because they're pretty great.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So it's been kind of a fun week. Did you manage to have any fun this last week?
Oh, there's been so much stuff on the internet. Did you see the story about the guy in the coffee shop that got approached by the cops and ended up telling him he was a knitting ninja?
I did. That was a fun story.
Yeah, I've been going around saying I'm a knitting ninja all week.
I'm not going to. It was actually tagged. Somebody tagged me on the story and put it on my page. I was glad they did. It was great. But I have enough names, and some of them you can't say in polite company. So I'm not going to call myself anything else.
Oh, okay.
So besides that, what do you have that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, there's two things that's kind of happening this week that I kind of wanted to mention. First of all, Vogue Knitting Live happening in Chicago. I know that there's probably a lot of fiber hooligans that are excited to go because Franklin Habit and Susan B. Anderson, who've both been on the show, are going to be their teachers.
Yeah, absolutely.
A few months ago. Josh Bennett's going to be there. He's the mentor for the Fiber Factor that we talked about last week, the mentoring coach. And then Lily Chin, Nikki Epstein, Amy Beechin's going to be there. Vicki Howell's going to have a beginner's lounge. And then the fashion show, the gala dinner with Alex Darmore, because Alex has been, she does that wonderful Antarja knit. No, I'm sorry, Fair Isle knit. And she has a new book coming out that's kind of reintroducing the Tudor roses again. So that's, I think a lot of folks are going to be there, and a lot of that is exciting stuff. And then on Friday, November 1st, you and I talked about Norway is doing a slow TV episode, which they guess is going to be about 5 hours long. And what it is this program does things like they did a cruise along Norway's coast and a train trip through the scenic area of Norway. And some of these programs are like 12 hours long. And what they're trying to do is, you know, show things don't have to be time lapse. They don't have to be abbreviated and edited, all the interesting in between bits out, that you can really, you know, watch something thoroughly. What they're doing is they're filming a sheet to sweater competition. They're hoping to break the Guinness record set by Australia of 4 hours 55 minutes. That's why they're guesstimating it's going to be 5 hours long. So they're going to show, you know, shearing the sheet. They've got one, you know, selected already. And then, you know, all the process through a completed sweater in this program. And that's supposed to be airing on the Internet. I know most of us don't live in Norway, so we can't watch it live on TV. But I haven't found the link for that. When I do, I will post it on Ravelry so that if anybody wants to check in throughout the time. It's supposed to start at 7 o'clock in the evening there. So I'm thinking that'll be Saturday morning here in the U.S. And I think it would be cool if you have kids so they can see, you know, this is where the sweater projects that I'm working on from you, how it's made, you know, it's actually used to live on a sheep. And and of course, you know, all the spouses of knitters, they can see why now that those skeins of yarn are so expensive.
Yeah, that should be fun. And so Fiber Hooligans, we're going to try to find out how that's going to air on the Internet and post links on the Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group and the Fiber Hooligans Facebook group. Yeah, I think I'll put it on and stream it while I'm working and see, you know, what it's about. I can't commit necessarily to 5 hours. Heck, I have, you know, enough problems with my attention that I'm not sure I can always commit to a half an hour. But, I'm gonna see if I can't give it a little bit of a listen.
And as far as the events, you know, if you can't get to Chicago to get to Vogue Knitting Live this week or next week to Stitches, one thing that's really pretty cool that you may want to check out is to go to Ravelry. At the top of the page, there's a little magnifying glass tab, and you can search. And when the box comes down, there's a place where you can search for events. You may find that there's something happening in your area this weekend that you hadn't heard about before, whether it's a Spinner's Guild is having a fiber show, you know, or any of those kind of things happening in your area that may not have been advertised or, you know, people aren't talking about it on Facebook or something because it's pretty small. but way cool because, you know, the opportunity to get to touch and feel everything that's in your local area is always a good thing.
Well, I agree. I love smaller events. I mean, Stitches tends to be a kind of a big show, but I do love smaller events. Are you getting ready with your wish list? Because, you know, we probably haven't told Barbara Hooligans this, but you're actually coming to your first Stitches.
Yes, I am. And I have so many things I wanted to ask you about, so I was kind of hoping that you and I could talk about that next week because I'm hoping to complete my wish list. I've been looking at the map of the vendor's market, which is usually my favorite area to go to, but, you know, there's a lot of other things that I'm not sure I completely understand, so I'm hoping we get to discuss that next week.
You bet. We'll take a little time in your segment next week, and we'll go through that. I wanted to, you know, give a shout-out to Steve Malcolm because you are joining his crew and going out there. He was last week's guest. It Takes Boston. And you're going to be part of his team, right?
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you know, I hope you'll hang out with me so I can at least pretend you're part of my team.
Oh, yeah, we can pretend really well. That would be awesome.
All right, well, you know, great segment again. Look forward to talking to you next week. Hey, by the way, have we found out a name for your segment? I mean, we have a contest on our Ravelry group for a name for your segment. Did you find a winner yet, or are we still going?
Well, I'm not very creative with this. I can't come up with anything really wonderful, but in the Ravelry group with several different suggestions, I was hoping you would pick since it's your program. There was there was one about Wooly and roving or something like that, because the roving that you mentioned was a pretty popular suggestion so far. So the roving report is a wool-based theme.
You know, I hate to use that one because I think there already is actually a roving report, and I don't want to duplicate it. So, I mean, I have to check on that. I mean, I called you a roving reporter, and you know, but that, yeah. All right, I'll check on that. Meanwhile, Fiber Hooligans, if you've got ideas about what Tammy's segment should be called, there is a small contest up on the Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. I'd love to have your input, and I'll give you credit if you win. All right, Tammy, well, that was great. You know, thanks a lot for showing up and giving us the benefit of what you think is cool out there. And I will see you next week online.
Thanks, Benjamin. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Well, that was Tammy Burke, our new roving virtual Fiber Hooligan reporter and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group and Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on one of our groups or both of our groups. Tammy does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide follow-up to anything you might ask about the show. Next Monday, my guest will be the very talented Fiona Ellis. Fiona is a British-trained knitwear designer and has been designing commercially since graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Fashion Knitwear Design from De Montfort University. Her original designs have been sold to major fashion houses in New York, London, and Paris for mass market production and have been widely published through premier knitting magazines such as Vogue Knitting International, Interweave Knits, and Knitters Magazine, also online at twistcollective.com. You can also find her patterns being carried by many leading yarn companies. She is the author of Inspired Cable Knits and Inspired Fair Isle Knits, both published by Pottercraft. They each contain instructions for 20 all-new patterns with the addition of written and visual materials reflecting her design philosophy. Fiona has an innate creative flair, a keen sense for developing trends and trends prediction, and also a unique talent for being able to communicate not only design ideas, but the principles of creativity. And she's just a lot of fun to talk to. So I hope you'll join us next Monday for what should be a really fun interview. I want to make sure that you know that I am eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. I want to do a quick note about an episode that I did a while back, almost a month, and I wanted to apologize to Fiber Hooligans. I had Andy Smith on the show, and we offered to give a book away on our Ravelry group. And here I am 27 or 28 days later and was reminded about the fact that I hadn't done so. So this morning I actually did go out and pick a winner. Folks, I apologize. I took a small hiatus and this one just dropped through my fingertips. I'll try to task some people to make sure that I remember these things and I'll put them on my calendar so I don't do that again to you. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.